construction ahead. You know, some of them said men working. I didn't see that part, but I did see the construction. Okay. Now, it should have a big orange sign up here. Not only did we not have the 18, but we didn't have the warning sign. Difficult parable ahead. Right? Because there are some parts of this that it seems like it doesn't fit with what our understanding is of our King, of our Heavenly Father. But it starts off with Peter asking a question. And we have to keep this parable in focus by the first question. Peter comes and he says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my neighbor, somebody who sins against me? Seems like a reasonable question, doesn't it? Because this whole kingdom thing that Jesus is bringing is new, and it is. But this is a question that belies that Peter has not caught on to what this kingdom looks like. What Peter is doing is exactly what the servant did and had to deal with. This was their economy. It was a ledger of credits and debits, what you have and what you owe, and what people owe to you. Peter doesn't realize he's asking for the mathematics of forgiveness. Let that sink in a minute. The mathematics of forgiveness. But Jesus turns it on its head and basically uses a phrase that says, there isn't any math about this. This is just do. Okay? So let's get into the parable. Now the servant is standing before the king. I don't know which translation that you were reading, but essentially, and also keep in mind that this particular translation takes into account, doesn't take into account, actually, our current prosperity. This is just a side comment. We live in one of the most prosperous societies that has ever existed in humanity. Yes, there have been rich people before, but that was basically a lord or some kind of governor that received money from the people, and that belonged to that lord, not to the people. But today, as a people, yes, we still have our poor, but we live lavishly. So if we hear, like in the scripture, the translation today, and he owed the king millions. Well, we've got billions and trillionaires now, don't we? And we live in a society where if I did owe millions, it is possible that through many different means that I could make several million dollars. But in the time where Jesus was telling this parable, the amount of money had never been made by anyone in an entire life. It wasn't the numbers. It's the fact of the work that it took to go into those numbers. This person had already spent a good portion of their life earning money or trying to. They didn't even have a whole life to do it. And even if they did, they couldn't. Now, there's no way that he could repay the king. It is a monumental debt. But the servant's response reveals his worldview. I want you to notice something. He asks for patience. He never asks for forgiveness. Now, the king knows that the way that the servant is thinking, the math ain't mathin'. I know that rankled some of you when I just said that, but that's something that you hear the younger generation saying right now, right? The math ain't mathin'. Dude, you can't even make it all back. But all he asks for is more time. He asks for something that is absolutely no help. And sometimes we do the same, don't we? God offers something good to us, but we would say, oh no, that's a little too high for me to ask for. I know I don't deserve that. I'll ask for something lower. But the king has the character that carries through. The king is the one that is true to himself, and he gives that servant forgiveness, not more time. The servant didn't need patience from the king. He needed forgiveness. And so do we. There is no human solution for the predicament the servant found himself in. This is a burden that only one could carry, and that is the king, or in our lives that we know of, the son of the king. Now, don't get this wrong. I mean, there have been some times where someone owed me money, and I just said, forget it. But I can tell you, it wasn't hundreds of dollars or millions. It's definitely not millions. But I've been known to say, let's just forget that. Let's just forget that. But even when I say let's forget that, I've already paid a price, haven't I? We tend to think that people with a lot of money, if they forgive a lot of money, no skin off their nose, they've got it. Well, I've got $10. And it's skin off my nose if I forgive it, isn't it? I'm looking for a response from somebody, isn't it? Yeah? Now, it is a gift when I give it, just as it's a gift when it comes from the king. But it cost the king dearly. Justice begins with truth. And grace requires justice first. The servant had to know that his ability to be free from this debt was not his. And justice said, you can't pay that. But grace comes and says, I will pay that for you. Justice not only requires the payment of the debt, but grace pays the debt that justice required. Because God is just and God is merciful. Isn't that good news? He is both just and merciful. We're going to come back to that theme in just a minute. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 to 14. And I think it's what Jesus illustrates in the parable. Keep in mind, Jesus is telling the parable before he becomes the one that pays the cost. Isn't that interesting? Colossians 2, 13 to 14 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. That's how we know it is Jesus who pays our debt. You know, God never says, well, you know what? Your ledger wasn't that bad. Your debt wasn't that bad. He never says that. What he says is, your ledger was that bad. But my son is sufficient to pay it. Isn't that wonderful news today? But let us not be like the servant, because the servant misses not only that the math didn't math, but he misses that grace is grace. Because when he leaves the throne room of the king he had served obviously for a while, do you think the king gave him an unforgivable debt if he didn't know him before? This isn't someone who walked in and this is his first time meeting the king. He obviously had talked to him, gotten counsel from him, learned from him. But yet, he comes in and doesn't even know grace is available, gets it anyway, and then walks right out and goes from the grace living that he's just been offered right back into ledger living. Now, I want to make sure that everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say ledger living, especially some of the young ones down here. When I was your age, I had a paper route, and both of your ages, actually, you know, because I worked a long time with that. I needed a bike. Somebody stole my bike out of the front yard. And so my dad took me down to the bank. He didn't take me to the bike shop. He took me to the bank and had me get a loan. Now, at that point, I did have a savings account. A savings account is where you go to the bank and you put money in and you let it wait there. Okay. And what would happen is we had this little blue book. It was called your passbook because we didn't have computers back then, right? And they would check their ledger and then they would write in your ledger so you knew what money that you did have. As soon as I took that loan out, I didn't have any money. They wanted their money back. My ledger was in the debt, not the positive. Now, eventually, for me, I was able to work out of that debt because back then, bikes only cost about $30, okay? Yes, back in ancient times. But after the price was paid by the king and his ledger was finally even, this particular servant goes out and starts living by the ledger again instead of the freedom of forgiveness. And that's what this is about. This isn't about the numbers. The numbers are just there to show us what the great debt is that we owe to God, because if there is one debt, it is a great debt. Many times I will hear people when we start talking about religious and spiritual things, and I can ask the question, well, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? You know the number one question, the number one answer to that? I hope so. You hope so? How would you like to know? Oh, I don't know if I can. I said, that's because you're living by the ledger. You're looking and you say, well, even if I'm paying attention to the ledger, I owe a debt, you know. I'm just hoping I have more good than bad. If I get there and my account is zero or a little bit more, I'm probably in. No, you don't know the price that was paid to get in. It's not about the ledger. It's about the relationship. Because what he missed was the invitation to be free at the cost of the king, so that he might release other people as well and invite them. The king was not inviting him to a zero balance. He was inviting him to his table. And he missed it. And I pray, Lord, I pray that I don't miss it. Because when we live by the scales, you have to keep a ledger. There was a song that I'll fit in here. You know, it's not a Christian song, but I heard it on the radio a lot. I couldn't afford cassette tapes, you know, when it came out. And so it was this. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me. The song's talking to a person. But if we're talking to God and we say, I want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. Not only can we look to the cross and see the sacrifice of Christ, but Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Now, have you heard a story about anyone today that broke every one of those? He received love and gave exactly the opposite to the other people around him. And so this isn't just about how to be acceptable before our King. This is how to be bringing others into the presence of the king with the grace of the king. The king closes the ledger. Faith keeps it closed. It's unbelief that keeps reopening it. And my friends, there are some who have accepted grace who still reopen the ledger, both for ourselves and for other people. I have been in other churches, and you know, I'd be talking to someone and somebody else. I go and talk to them, and somebody will come up and say, you know, if you knew what they had done, you probably wouldn't be talking to them. Now I've got the language to respond to that. Sorry, I don't live by a ledger. I live by grace. I have been given such overwhelming grace that I can do nothing else except give it to others. Now let me ask you something. If that's the way that it really works, how often do we get ourselves bound up? What can we say about unforgiveness? If we cannot forgive someone else, have we really truly appreciated the forgiveness that we have received and the great debt that has been paid on our behalf? It would behoove us to go back and see what God has done for us. Let me ask you this. What ledger are you still carrying that the King has already closed? What ledger are you still carrying, either for yourself or for others, that God has already closed? And what are you going to do about it? If you've identified in your heart that Jesus is your salvation, I applaud that and I encourage that, but I ask you as a believer, stop opening the ledger book for other people that God has already closed and is willing to. Allow yourself to be freed from all of that. Because that, we celebrated freedom recently, didn't we? But can I tell you, true freedom is knowing that your name is written in heaven. That's true freedom. To those who are still hoping so, there may be some of you here just hoping that somehow that you will be accepted. Can I tell you, can I give you good news today? You can be. You can be. Just respond different than the other servant. That's all. According to God's word, you can never balance the books. Simply come to the King. Come with thanksgiving and joy in your heart and let Him settle the accounts for you. Because He already has. What a tragedy to finally get there, find out your account's been settled all the time, but you never came in to sign the paperwork. You never picked up your little passbook. So that you know that you have the riches of heaven on your behalf. Don't go away today thinking, I hope so. If you need help, you come and talk to me. You can talk to anybody who was on the stage, any of the leadership, if you know who they are. Talk to them and find out you are debt-free. Your heavenly mortgage is gone. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up right now. But I really want to bring this home. This is another hard passage warning. Okay? But it shows perfectly what's going on here. At the end, there is a contrast between a ledger and another book. I'm going to read all the way to the end of the New Testament. Not read all the way to it. I'm going to read something, you know, from the end. Danelle, I hope you're feeling better now. Yeah. Okay? So, yeah, amen. Yeah. This section's called the judgment before the great white throne. See if you can identify ledger and grace. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. I'm adding this in, it's not written right here in this translation. Good or bad, it's your balance sheet, it's your ledger. All are judged that way. All. Listen to this. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Mike. That certainly doesn't apply to us, does it? We've accepted Jesus. We escaped the judgment. No, we don't. We escaped the condemnation of the judgment. Why would God have us go through and re-look at the fact that we, everything that we have done, good or bad? Because we need to know we're debtors, that's why. Justice comes before grace. If it had ended here, this would be tragic, wouldn't it? But it doesn't end there. My brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But know this, if your name is written in the book of fire, in the book of life, you escape the fire. Why? Because the first one is a ledger. The second one is family. It's names. Make sure your name's written there. Let's sing.